Today I want to talk about respecting your individuality. If we didn't have egos, we wouldn't have the ability to maintain our individuality. Can you imagine not being able to tell the difference between you and the chair you're sitting in? Without individuality, the chair would never have been made in the first place. The chair is a result of an expression of individuality of the idea, person, and all the people involved in its creation, marketing, distribution, sales, and servicing. Everyone is impelled to express their own individuality. This is an inbuilt facet of living things. Those expressions, however, can be thwarted, distorted, misdirected, or stopped entirely. Ideally, other individuals would respect our individuality, and through this acceptance and even encouragement, we would learn to respect and encourage other people's individuality. This country was founded by people escaping a Europe which wouldn't accept the religious expressions of various groups. So these early arrivers came to a place that had far fewer rules that subverted individuality. The class systems of Europe, while not as stark as the caste systems in India, nevertheless prevented people from discovering the full potential of expressing their individuality. Americans have traditionally respected individuality. Of course, there are people who hate the winners, attributing their winning to their negative or unfair behaviors. People love the New York Yankees, and people love to hate the New York Yankees. The same is true of the New England Patriots football team and every other championship team in every sport. In Europe, at soccer games, this love-to-love and love-to-hate has combusted into fights, riots, and even deaths. I've heard people talk about loving a certain NASCAR driver and hating other NASCAR drivers. While we accept as normal, and I don't think it is, the ease with which we find fault with various forms of individuality expressing through people, I don't recall anyone actually saying to me, "I love carnations and daisies, but I hate roses and petunias." Maybe it's easy to not hate flower varieties because they don't have beliefs that we can misinterpret as threats to our individuality. Somehow, people seem to consider another's beliefs as hand grenades or improvised explosive devices that could explode and hurt them. If we saw beliefs as less threatening and more like a wardrobe item like a blouse or slacks or hairstyle, maybe we wouldn't see the beliefs as imminent attacks which we have to either defend ourselves from or preemptively attack. In the U.S. right now, more than any time in my experience, the lack of respect for others' individuality seems to be at an all-time high. A case in point involves the social media attacks, perhaps by Russians, perhaps by the lunatic fringe, on the survivors of the Parkland school shooting here in Florida. It is clear that 17 people were shot to death. It seems clear that survivors should be and are angry that these murders occurred. It is the attack on those speaking up that increases the horror of this situation. Who actually expects kids to remain silent in the face of these threats? Going to school is dangerous and possibly life-ending. Somebody needs to speak up. Women are assaulted sometimes for just trying to respect and protect their individuality. Blacks and browns are attacked simply for having skin colors different than their attackers. Religious groups members attack other groups members for being in different groups. People expressing their beliefs through their individuality are attacked by others with different beliefs. Social media has created a stage upon which is paraded the viciousness of human beings toward other human beings they don't even know. Look at the comments on Facebook, or worse yet, look at the comments associated with YouTube videos. Even the most innocuous videos have vicious personal attacking comments. I would love to be able to see the people making these comments and the lives they lead. It's difficult for me to believe that highly successful, educated people could be making these comments. I would bet what we're reading is the self-hatred being projected onto others. I would further bet that the recent postings regarding the Parkland shooting and the new activist students are either Russians agitating to create greater divisions in American society, and or Americans who are failures, whose new purpose is to bring down other people to their very low levels. But in my opinion, the biggest problem surrounding respecting your individuality doesn't come from Russians and the unsuccessful haters who want to hate Americans. The biggest problem is that we as individuals don't respect our own individuality. We are each the main enemy to our own individuality. We don't accept ourselves. We have knee-jerk reactions to inputs, advertising, comments, images, television, radio, what we read, etc., that convince us that something is wrong with us and we need to hurry. And we need to hurry and buy whatever drugs or products or services that promise to make us all good enough, finally. One of the human needs I regularly talk about is the need to be right. It is one of the needs in my model of Sufuli plus two. Survival, freedom, usefulness, love, identity, plus the need to be right and the need to look good, get approval. I was recently shown this need to be right in the form of people having all the final answers to all the questions that came up repeatedly in several days of conversation. I also have the need to be a know-it-all. This habit is annoying as hell. I didn't realize just how much until it was reflected back to me recently. Know-it-allness seems like a protective mechanism to ward off vulnerability. It feels like the expansion of the comfort zone boundary outward. It's as if we're trying to expand the territory, mindshare territory, that we currently occupy. If our comments, our know-it-allness is rebuffed vigorously, the boundary is pulled back. But if it's allowed to expand, it's new territory gained by that identity that was trying to expand. If each of us respected our own individuality, would that mean the urge to conquer the mindshare territory of others would weaken and then disappear? Maybe. Would we spend less time inflating ourselves in the eyes of others? Maybe. Would we stop the incessant seeking of others' approval to validate our very existence? Maybe. I don't think we can effectively use other people's opinions of us to bolster or even establish our respect for our own individuality. Others' viewpoints come from them. They're based on their experience. They're based on their needs and wants, and they're only slightly concerned with what's best for us. They would be using us for validation just as we try to use them. And if they feel good about themselves at any one moment, their viewpoint about us is going to be elevated. When they feel bad about us and then they view or feel bad about themselves and then view us, we're going to fail. They're not going to appreciate us very much. Being a know-it-all is a manifestation of the ego's first driving need. It's as if I know everything and I'm always right, you won't be able to criticize me or attack me emotionally or physically. That's the unspoken reasoning. It's false, of course, because people criticize or attack out of their own insecurities, which are manifold. No amount of knowing, no amount of being right, will garner sufficient respect for your individuality. those things can be very threatening to others and trigger criticism and attack. The only solution would be to so respect your own individuality that you would also so respect the individuality of others that your energy field couldn't be perceived by anyone as a threat. "I know more than you" is a threat to most people, especially those people that are frightened that they're incapable of learning. The most important part of respect is that respect does not require you to change, or improve, or control, or prevent. It allows what is to be. If we can adopt the mindset that what is, we would all be better off. We can still change, we can improve, and we can elevate our own consciousness, but we won't struggle against what is. People resist other people's attempts to change them because this externally forced change is perceived as wrong-making, and therefore criticism or worse. At an early age, we learn to reject our individuality and not respect our individuality. We're expected to be good, to be helpful, to be useful, to do no wrong, obey our parents and other authorities, be A students, and make sure we don't embarrass the family in the eyes of the neighbors. And when we don't live up to these impossible standards, we are rejected by others and by ourselves. Instead of understanding the value of learning through trial and error, we fault ourselves for not being, doing, or having the perfect thing the first time, every time. We don't see the gift and value of our energy exchange experiences, but rather see the lack of perfection as bad mistakes and embarrassing errors. We overlook the idea that we are always in the process of discovering the invisible path that will take us to a completely fulfilling life of excitement, success, health, and happiness. Since we want to be happy, why wouldn't we focus on respecting our individuality? Because we are trained, like pets, to do certain tricks in order to please people around us. We shift, maybe even metamorphosize, into identities that others say they like. They don't respect our individuality, and neither do we. If we want to be happy, but we aren't happy with ourselves, how do you think this will lead to our being happy? Silly, isn't it? Every self-critical comment and action is based upon, if I cause myself enough pain and unhappiness, I will start to do things that will stop the pain and make me happy. Said another way, I will torture myself until I behave in such a way that I no longer deserve torture. Isn't that a scary thought? Here's a news bulletin. You are a human being. Humans learn through experience. When I go to the gym, I listen to the audio version of Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Yesterday in the gym, I was listening to Letter 6, and I heard basically this comment. You cannot know something unless you experience it. If we could adopt the attitude that every energy exchange experiences for the purpose of learning and elevating our awareness, we would immediately stop punishing ourselves for our actions and inactions, for our thoughts and feelings in our words. We would instead focus on the experience as an adventure in learning. Observation, not judgment, would be our process. There is so much less stress in observation as compared to judgment. Judgment sets the law of cause and effect in motion. We will attract energies that are just like the energies of our judgment. If we're criticizing somebody, that energy of criticism is on its way back to us. In time, it will arrive. There is no escaping it. Judging is the opposite of respecting. In judging, we are seeing things as bad, good, worse, better, inferior, superior, and on and on. We falsely elevate ourselves above others, or, equally falsely, we degrade ourselves to be lower than others. Neither is true. Neither is accurate. Mistakes are energy exchange experiences that we refuse to learn from. They don't have to be mistakes if we use a different way to measure them. In reality, energy exchange experiences consist of experiences that turn out to be more effective than we expected, less effective than we expected, or just as effective as we expected. If we are willing to learn, our next energy exchange experiences can show our increased effectiveness because we have elevated our awareness. We're more knowledgeable, we're more experienced, we have greater insight into the activities in which we're about to participate. And being effective is a great way to feel good about yourself. You don't have to wait to respect your individuality. Give up the habit of judging in a binary bad-good fashion, or interpreting conditions in such a way as you make yourself bad or good. Look around you. The conditions you see are the result of choices you have made. Period. End of story. And if you see chaos, there's no need to worry or beat yourself up. Chaos exists before order exists. Even the chaos you are viewing shows a degree of order. You don't see magazines in your refrigerator or dropped into the toilet bulb. They're probably in one or more piles. Piles of magazines represent a phase of order. If you were to review a pile of magazines, separate the magazines into groups, that these can be discarded, these can be recycled, these can be read, or these can be stored because they're valuable, you would have created more order. When it comes down to it, you need to decide what, as an individual, you are here in life to do. I believe we're alive to grow and express our unique version, our translation of divine consciousness, divine energy, that's our source, to create greater well-being for ourselves, for our families, and for the world in general. And we're not doing it alone. We have plenty of support, as the following prayer indicates. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. You want any of those things? Now you know where to go, what you have to tune into as you meditate. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.